Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here. Getaway Friday, June the 5th, 2026, National Donut Day, 2026. 15, almost 16 minutes past the hour, and we have got donuts galore. Thanks to our two in-studio guests here. Of course, one is a regular here at the station, Matt Morgan, and he is on time this morning. And not only is he on time, but he stopped this morning at Kroger here in Marion and picked up 24 donuts. So we have 24 Kroger donuts here in studio, freshly made this morning, and we thank them so much for that. How was it at Kroger this morning, Matt? Was it just a bottleneck there this morning because of National Donut Day?
No,
it wasn't bottlenecked. I'm surprised.
At like 7:50 or whatever, I was at Kroger this morning. It was like there was nobody in there, so.
Well, and it's the first of the month, too, so that's kind of hard to believe. But, well, thank you for stopping and getting those. And we might give some of those out to the listeners this morning as we go along. And Bob Walsh is here with us from Columbus, Ohio. We're always happy to see Bob. And, Bob, you have done some donut-ing this morning.
Well, if Matt's the regular, I must be the irregular, right?
Well, the irregular this morning. Well, make sure your mic sounds good here. So, Bob, what was your morning ritual this morning on Donut Day?
Well, I went to another popular donut hideout in Columbus, DK Donut.
DK Donut. Now, what's DK Donut?
DK Diner. DK Diner.
Okay.
They specialize in donuts and breakfast and lunch, you know.
Well, it looks like you have two bags there. Are they all from DK?
Yes. Well, the box is specialty.
Because specialty.
They always do specialties each month, and, you know, and everything. And so to celebrate Donut Day.
Beautiful day.
What better way to top a donut than with another donut?
Oh, they've done double-decker donuts?
Somewhat, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I brought a bag of their more regular variety.
Well, we will get to this as the morning goes along, because this is going to be a lot of fun, because Donut Day, we've done this now 3 or 4 years, and it's always a lot of fun. And it looks like we've got a little change-up this year from normally what we would have. And donuts are one of those things you can eat all day long.
I suppose, yeah.
But it's not really a breakfast food anymore.
It's not from sugar coma.
Well, let's hope nobody here is a diabetic at this particular point. But we got some trivia going along that maybe we'll give away a few of these donuts. What kind of, I didn't get a chance to look there, but what kind of donuts do we have from Kroger? I know we have jelly filled. We have, I think we saw some of the Krillers in there. There's some chocolate donuts.
I think the only other ones that you didn't mention were the twists.
And we've got the twist. So we've got good, fresh donuts here this morning. I do want to mention quickly here, though, I got the Women's Club newsletter yesterday. The Women's Club puts out a great newsletter here in Marion. And I'm not going to go through all of this, but there's going to be an ice cream social celebrating the 250th anniversary of the country on Sunday, July the 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. I'll be there for that. I love a good ice cream social. There's some nice pictures from their Mother's Day brunch. Mary Ellen's on here with her daughter Linda and some other people. Oh, and I see, these pictures apparently, I don't know if all the pictures were submitted by this person, but it says photos courtesy of Amy Evers Roston, who was Charlie's, I guess was or is. Do you say was or is?
Is,
even though he's no longer.
She's still his daughter, or whatever.
Yes, you're right. But it's a nice picture of her with her sister, Kathy, and mother, Jeannie. And a matter of fact, I just ran in, serendipitously, I ran into Charlie's grandson, who used to come in with him yesterday, Brandon, at the grocery store, and had a nice conversation with him, and he's doing well. It's hard to believe he was a little kid when he was coming in here, and now he's in. He's out of the military. He's off in Bible college, I think, is what he's doing. So, very interesting. Good to talk with Brandon.
I don't know, though.
I didn't know what you were doing there. Just took your headset off?
It just keeps cutting in and out, so I didn't see a point wearing the headset.
Well, Bob's probably shaking things over there. Oh, yeah. But we'll get back to the donuts here, because
I might be leaning on the connection theory.
Oh, don't do God, don't do that, Bob. You'll throw the whole station off the air. But there are some current events to talk about this morning. We'll start with the heavy news before we get to the Donut Day stuff here. And yesterday, the whole topic of the 2 hours, and I thought it was a good topic, is the settlement made with 279 of 280 sexual abuse claimants, I guess, victims, we certainly would say, from the Ohio State Richard Strauss sex abuse scandal that was highly profiled in surviving Ohio State documentary, we should say. $100 million is the number. That was the big conversation yesterday that the university has agreed upon for all of them. And a special master will be appointed by the court to review the amount of the level of harm each survivor has sustained, and that's the amount of the $100 million they will get. But 279, Colleen Marshall was on yesterday. She said 40% of that's going to go to court costs right off the top.
Not court costs, attorneys.
I consider that a court cost. Well, no. That's not a court cost?
The court costs are still separate and above over
there. Well, I bet Ohio State picks up I don't think they will at this point, but attorney fees.
Yes.
Bob in the legal profession would have to straighten me out on that. But so we're really talking more like $600,000 here to be split.
$600 million.
No, $600,000. $60 million. It's not even. No, that's right. $600,000. $600,000. $600,000. Yeah. And it's $600,000.
$60 million.
$60 million.
I mean, it's still 100%.
$100 million minus 40%. Yeah. $40 million is $60 million.
Yeah.
$60 million. Okay, you're right. $60 million. It's $100 million, not $1 million. Oh Lord.
Yeah, I'm congratulating. Well, he finished high school. He's
but he went to River Valley, so I had to worry when he said these numbers.
Oh no.
And we're talking about Donut Day. You know, we got a dozen donuts. That's 12, and you add 12 here, and you got 24. It's a whole 24. Thing.
Minus 40.
But you are right. So there'll be $60 million left. There we go. Okay. So we're talking about $60 million to be split amongst 279 people. So the question is, Bob called in with this yesterday, but we did get a chance to listen to Colleen Marshall yesterday and give her thoughts on the whole bit. And, of course, she was in Surviving Ohio State as well as pretty close to this story and these guys. What do you think, Matt?
I think that the university should be less stingy, and probably they should have paid out more on the settlement than this.
Well, but why be less stingy if they're willing to settle?
I mean
you're going to settle with what you can.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I figure that they. I don't know. I think for as long as it went on, you know, and I guess. for as many people who apparently knew about it at the university, I would think that $100 million split like 180 ways or whatever you said as far as how many people, and is it really not even 100 million, like you said, 60 split by 180 people is not great.
Okay, Bob, what have you had now that you've had a day to ruminate on this, what do you think?
Well, just to toss a question out there. Approximately how many students attend OSU annually?
Oh, I have no... It's a trillion or a billion. Is it a billion or a trillion?
Well, no, not students. I'm not tuition. How many students? I mean, 10,000, 20,000?
A lot.
All right. Well let's say, I don't know, 20,000 times the new increase, $479 average per student. That right there is, $9.5 million. You know, I mean, so they're going to pay off, you know, this fee. And
how many students did you do?
I said 20,000. I don't know how many there are.
67,000.
67,000.
Yeah, I would
well,
guess.
Let's do the math again. 67,000 times the new increase of $479 per student average. That's $32 million right there.
So boom! Look at that.
So they will pay off the $60 million in two semesters.
Look, I'm saying they should have got a lot of money.
Three semesters for $100 million, throwing the attorneys there. And three semesters, that's what they will pay off you know, the
I think
and what is it, $1 billion annually just off tuition? We're not talking sports.
I think,
you know, this is not hurting OSU one iota. Yep.
I think that they could have honestly OSU could have thrown out $1 billion here and then still been cool for, yeah, you know.
You know, since these are student athletes who were harmed by this, instead of raising the tuition, they should have took the money out of the NIL money.
All right, everybody get their headsets on. We're going to go to the phones here. It'll take you 10 minutes to get your headset untangled there, so I don't think you'll hear the conversation. But go ahead, caller.
The people who run the Ohio State University are a bunch of cheap bastards.
Well, now say that again, because Bob was untangling his mic there.
The people who run the Ohio State University are a bunch of cheap bastards.
So over the last 24 hours, you've come to realize this is really not a good amount.
Well, it depends on the victims. It depends on the victims. You've got the victims. If they're happy with it, good. But, you know, the public will never accept it. Just like Jerry Sandusky and the one guy that was, Michigan, Nash. University of Michigan, etc. And then, you know, it's ongoing across the country. Ohio State isn't an isolated event.
No, but the one thing Ohio State has had here, which is why they held out when Michigan State did not. I mean, Michigan State paid out $500 million, and they did
I thought it was University of Michigan.
University of Michigan?
I do believe it's the Michigan State, yeah.
I
thought so, but I
can't. Holy moly.
I think it's Michigan State.
Well, there's two institutions up north.
Okay.
So.
Regardless, the Nassar situation, Michigan State paid out $500 million, and they almost did it immediately to less than 500 students. So each student got $1 million there, and they did not make them get attorneys, I don't believe, and go through the whole rigmarole. I don't think it was that deep. And also money was paid out from other sources because of that. And then the situation with Jerry Sandusky you're talking about, again, I don't believe there was a lot of pushback. I mean, they fired Joe Paterno. They took down his statue. They certainly fired Jerry Sandusky. Criminal charges were pressed. He sits in jail today because of what he did. Compensation was paid out to those students. It must have been okay because I don't remember a whole lot of blowback from those students. Ohio State has been coasting on this now for what, at least in the media, 7 years, and it doesn't hurt them. And I think that's been the whole confusion of this case, and is that why doesn't it hurt them? Why don't people care? I mean, the whole point of the documentary was, what about Ohio State? Why is nobody paying attention?
You know why? They would pay attention if people boycotted attendance at the football games, basketball games, baseball games, and everything else. That would send the message that they know people, they'll overlook it, they'll buy the tickets, and they'll keep supporting us.
Right, and I do believe that during this time, Ohio State was the national championship football team, and I would guess made more revenue that season than any previous season. I think that was a very good year for them.
Another part of that settlement, the mediator, find out how much the mediator got out of all of this. Well, I've been in mediation, and I quite frankly thought that the mediator sucked. And I got the funny impression with my situation that the mediator, he wanted to settle it, but he came up with all kinds of statistics thrown at me, etc. And I thought, this is ridiculous, and I kept thinking, well, Nationwide's supposed to be on my side.
Well,
Nationwide sponsors Nationwide Children's Hospital. They're supposed to be an altruistic institution, but they're not. They're all a bunch of greedy bastards.
Well, the interesting thing about this is we talk about the students. If we throw money out of this and we just say the victims, a lot of whom were students. You know, I've had Fred Feeney on the show. I've had Steven Snyder Hill on the show. I've had Rocky Ratliff on the show, all talking about this issue. And for them, it seemed that OSU needed to admit that something was wrong, that they did something wrong. And as I was talking with Colleen Marshall yesterday, if you look at what Carter said, if you look at what Guy said in the interview I did with him in late April, if you look at what Belum Konda, the current president, said yesterday, and by the way, just to refresh people's mind, this is what he said, or Wednesday, I guess this would be now. He said, the survivors of the Strauss abuse are all Buckeyes and will always be part of our family and our community, and I firmly believe that. We continue to be very grateful to them for their courage in coming forward and reaching a final resolution is very important to us and an important step forward. I mean, these aren't exactly culpability statements. These aren't exactly full-throated apologies.
Well, it's like, you know, that statement that president, the current president said, that's tantamount to, you know, a child of incest. Oh, well, they're still part of the family. Bullshit. You know, it would go so far to boost the credibility of the Ohio State University if they would have said, you know something, we did something and allowed something dastardly to happen, and we are going to make amends. We are a university of goodwill, and we want to maintain that goodwill. We made a major mistake, and we are going to pay for it. But no, their own pride is keeping them from doing that.
Well, and I also think the fact that the students have settled. So, you know,
well, that's the bottom line. If those victims feel that this is making them whole again and they're happy with it, that's wonderful. But the public will never be satisfied.
Do you think, though, that there is a public backlash to this? I mean, I thought the documentary would have a bigger impact. I mean, it was a number one documentary on HBO Max, but it didn't put a dent in Ohio State and didn't even change their minds when it came to settling up then. They still were willing to go to court. They still went to mediation, and you see the number they were willing to throw out, which we all have agreed is a rather small number compared to other schools, and that's after the documentary.
Well, you would think the NCAA would do something, step in there. But, you know, it's a warning to the Ohio State University, the athletic department, and the administration. Slip up again, it's over.
Well, that's interesting. Well, hey, thanks for calling.
Do a better tomorrow.
All right, and the phone lines are always open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, aside from the money, is Ohio State apologizing?
No.
I never heard them actually say what they were doing to, as remedial measures. You know, how have they, you know, tightened up, you know, the scrutiny of the program? I mean, we heard yesterday, you know, they closed down Larkins Hall, you know, which I guess was, you know, the hotbed of activity. But, you know, have they improve the communications, you know, from the coaches up to the management. You know, when the one hockey player, you know, complained to the coach about what was happening, oh, don't, just go out there and play, you know. You know, I mean, where have they tightened up their own process?
Well, and also the big people who were in power at that time, from Guy, who was the president, from Geiger, who I believe was the athletic director. We've got coaches, certainly assistant coach Jim Jordan, wrestling coach Hellickson. Have any of them admitted that anything was wrong? That they did anything wrong?
I don't know about... I know Jim Jordan hasn't. I mean,
well,
you know.
Guy, in April, certainly was not admitting. He sticks to the fact he didn't know anything.
Yep.
Nobody told him anything. And he thought that the original settlement was fine.
He even made a point to bring up that somebody mentioned to him that his name was brought up like 40-something times or something like that in the Surviving Ohio State documentary. And he was just like, well, I was the president.
Yeah. And Hellickson won't talk to anybody anymore.
I don't blame him.
But he's not. he's not issued an apology. And Jordan, he's a politician. He just keeps on winning office over and over and over in this very district. Didn't hurt him.
Love that.
So, you know, who'd it hurt?
The incoming students.
I don't even think it hurt them, honestly. I think Ohio State's coming out of this smooth as...
Well, yeah. The thing that told me was that the Board of Trustees approved the settlement 14-0 in a Wednesday meeting. I think they were more than happy to settle for $100 million.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all I'm saying, I think that, you know, I think that the university won this.
I'd like to see the, you know, how much of that 14 trustees voted for the tuition increase. What was that vote? Was that 14-0 as well?
By the way, is Wexner still on that board?
I do not know.
Is that public info? It's a public university.
I know he has something to do with the board. I don't know if he's still on the board with all the kerfluffle going on with his life these days.
Well, I know there was a big movement at one point to take his name off the buildings and so forth.
Right, but leave him on the board.
But that died right away. No, we're not, you know.
Oh, I said that. I said I don't think the name will ever come off the buildings, and people think it will. I don't think it will.
No. I see no reason as to why it'd come off.
Because he's just given too much money, and they also want to see how much he's leaving in the will.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's also getting to that point in life.
He's not on the governing board anymore. He stepped down in 2012, but he is still the chair of the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center board.
Of course.
So he's got say. He's got say.
So he's still chair of the board that has his name on it.
Hey, all I'm saying is OSU Wexner is a great hospital.
Well,
okay.
No doubt about it.
Well, there's the money. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, that's that case, and it is what it is at this point. I hate that saying, but that's where we are. The other story this week that we did quite a bit with was the political blogger in Columbus, the Rooster, who was jailed on Monday, I believe it was, for 23 hours in a Franklin County jail. Now, he does a lot of, what would you say, interesting journalism, to say the least. But a lot of people watch. He's out of jail now. Now, allegedly, this was about sending a picture of Shrek's male parts to Senator Jerry Serino. And he felt, Senator Serino felt that there was that was an explicit photo and two harassing text messages. Now, what we've learned since then is that apparently Democrats and Republicans at the State House are saying that they felt that DJ Burns, the Rooster, should not have been arrested in this case based on this. But here we are. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think he should have been arrested. I think that's a bit much, but I also think it's pretty childish to be sending cartoon private parts and then you know, harassing, I don't know what the texts were, but, you know, quote unquote harassing text messages.
Well, It gets rid of all objectivity, and he is definitely a liberal blogger. I don't see him with great veracity going after the Democrats, although he does. I'm not saying he never goes after them, but he's certainly got a more liberal slant. But here we are. Is this journalism today, Bob?
It is. I mean, you look at what journalism is over the changing centuries, and you have to be adaptable. And, you know, would this be journalism in 1776? You know, I mean, that the state of affairs back then was different. The state of technology back then was different. So, yes, this is journalism today, but isn't the point of journalism to report the truth?
Well, maybe it's why we're so misinformed today, and we're better informed in 1776. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller.
Love your city. Do you like the Marion Maid?
I'm not. Is that even a thing anymore?
Oh, I sent you an email.
Oh, I haven't looked at it yet.
Maid.
I haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
Oh, geez. Share it with the guys in the studio. If you let me know if you find that offensive.
Is that M-A-I-D or M-A-D-E?
M-A-I-D.
Cool.
All right. We'll see what we can find here. Let me see if I can track it down here. What do you have a point why I try to find this?
Well, you were talking about Shrek, a cartoon. I mean, you know, I've been watching too many stand-up comics, and I would say, you know, who's offended by particularly a cartoon penis, you know? I mean, I'm sure women would like it. Lesbians, not so much. Homosexuals, probably, you know. Other guys, not so much.
Well, I think it comes to the idea here is this is somebody who's dealing in the media, and I certainly think if somebody from the Columbus Dispatch would have sent this to him, I think the same outcome would have happened.
I think the Columbus Dispatch would probably fire that person.
Right, they would fire that person. And I think if somebody from the television stations down there would have done this, they would have fired the person. So yeah, that's what I would say.
They have to, you know, a lot of people don't realize that even though they work for a company, when you're on the company dime, you are representing that company. Your personal opinions, et cetera, may not go along with the company you work for.
But this also is a sign of the times. You know, you a lot of places you work,
I think you should play Petulia Clark in the background. It's a sign of the
times. Well, it is a sign of the times to this degree that usually when you're working a story, you're not running everything by the program director or anybody like that. So you could do something like this if you worked for the Dispatch or you worked for WCMH or if you worked for a local radio station. You could do these things. You do make your own decisions, but the consequences would also follow, and you know that. And I guess in this case, what I'm saying is one of the problems we have is that just being self-aware in that what did that do? Is it silly? Of course it's silly. Should the senator have gotten all bent out of shape? I don't know. I guess that's for people to decide. But the question is, why does this person who claims to be a political blogger who's giving people the news feel the need to do that? What credibility does that give them? What was even the point? Have we even heard the point yet?
Yeah, that's exactly. What was the message he wanted to convey via a cartoon?
Right, and that's what happens now, is this gets personal. Because if you're doing that in private, nobody's seeing that. That's not on your blog. That's not in your videos. That's not on your social media platform.
Senator perceive it to be a threat?
Well, apparently. That was what is his...
I wonder, it would be interesting to ask that senator, well, you perceived it as a threat. What kind of a threat?
Yeah, but here's the thing. As a citizen, if you happen to have, let's say, the governor's phone number, text message, if you sent something like this to the governor, do you think that somebody wouldn't give you a call? Do you think that a police officer wouldn't show up, just as a private citizen?
The state highway patrol
would get your door the next day. To the governor. It would get to all of his gatekeepers.
No, I'm saying if you had his personal number.
If you did. Depends on the governor, you know, and depends on if the governor knew the party that was sending it to him.
I would really hope that we're not blocking. Look, I mean, it seems, yes, I think it's, I think that the rooster should not have sent it. I think that's pretty childish and very unprofessional. But, at the same time, I don't think we should be arresting people. I mean, you know, you can just block him. He can just never get emails or calls or texts from this guy again. Just block him. You physically cannot hear from him again unless you see him. Problem solved.
Well, you get in contact with the person sending the message and say, you know, we don't find this funny, and we're just going to ignore you from now on, but be warned, you're going to have to be responsible for what you do.
Well, here's the thing. Let me just point out something. I do not know what the threatening text messages were, the harassing text messages, but I am willing to bet it was something. I would guess that this guy was in contact with him, the blogger, was in contact because he wanted to speak to this guy. I don't know why else you would be sending these messages. So let's just start from that point. Was he saying, you come on, or we're going to do this, you come on, or we're going to do that? You could certainly see that as harassment, which is why you don't do that. You say, listen, I have a story. We're going to run it. I'd like to get a quote from you. Would you like to give us a quote? And that's
wait,
how it's
wait
supposed
a minute.
To be.
I just got this. That senator said he was afraid for his life because he was afraid he was going to be sodomized by Shrek.
Well, I don't know. I just think, as I said the other day, it's always interesting to me with these bloggers, they never approach women like they do the men. They don't get in their face as heavy, they don't come on top of them as heavy, and I think it's a power dynamic. I guarantee you, if this guy, Burns, did this with Amy Acton, it would not be seen in the same way. And it would not be seen as a happy, happy occasion. And they don't do it because they know that. And they're doing it with the men because it doesn't look like an offset power dynamic. So, you know, again, what are you doing here? What are you trying to get? What information are you trying to spread? Because the problem is, whether or not anybody believes that this guy is accurate or important or so on and so forth, some do. And I guess this is okay.
Well, hey, there's some people out there, they are legends in their own mind. Did you pull up the Marion Maid yet?
You know, I don't see it. I don't think I got it.
Well, I will send it to you again. OSU kid at AOL, right?
Yep.
I'll send it to you again, and I'll be listening while I'm working.
All right, thank you. All right, and again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And I just want to make it clear again. I'm not saying that what the rooster does is a bad thing. He obviously draws a crowd and has a following. And I'm not saying he should have been put in jail for 23 hours. I'm not saying that was necessary. I'm just saying this whole ambush idea, what information are we getting from this? You could give us the information without coming up on that senator or congressman and backing them into a corner and hearing them say no comment. That's done for sensationalism.
Well, and I'm not here just to correct you, although I seem to be.
Oh, go right ahead. Go right ahead. It's donut day.
But OSU kid is not the exact address. So that maybe that's why he's getting it. You know, you're not.
Well, I've gotten emails from him before,
okay.
So hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not what I have. You know,
but no. I've gotten emails.
All right,
but
all
I guess I just don't. It's just the ambush thing that I don't like. Because I don't know, is that, if it's just to get people to view your page, okay, then let's go with that and let's say that's what it is. But don't act like, you know, you're 60 Minutes. that that's what really what you're trying to achieve here.
Although, in the very early days, Morley Safer and Mike Wallace are known for ambush interviews.
But they're doing that in those days for information. Yeah. They really want to interview that person. See, I don't believe they really want to interview these people. Yeah. I believe that they don't haven't even tried to interview these people. I believe that they're coming up on them because that's a better video. You know, if all these congressmen and senators agreed to talk to them, I don't think this guy'd have a business.
Well, that may be true. I mean, you can't ambush somebody who's willing to talk to you.
Right, and people love the ambush. They love Gordon Gee coming out of the bathroom and getting, you know, a camera tossed in his face. And you know what? You're not on your feet when you're getting accosted like that. It's just a different thing.
I couldn't find what the messages were, but the only message I saw was that he made a reference to calling the senator Little Mussolini.
Little Mussolini.
Yep.
See, why do that?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the other. There were three texts, and I that's the only part that was referenced that I could find.
But what does any of this have to do with journalism?
Just.
Any of it.
It's certainly not professional.
But this is where people get their news is my problem.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, what does any of this have to do with news? You can, I guess if you want to send text messages to politicians calling them Little Mussolini, and you want to send explicit photos of cartoon characters, and you want to run around ambushing people, go ahead. I don't know that any of that's illegal at this particular point, but... What we're so misinformed in this country, and at some point somebody's got to say this is why we're misinformed, because of nonsense like this. News is not supposed to be entertainment. There's supposed to be a difference. If you're trying to make the news entertaining, chances are you're fudging the line. You're fudging the line, and you're fudging the facts. You know, here's the problem. If Bob...
Uh-oh.
Is involved in a scandal, and Bob doesn't want to talk to me, and I find Bob coming out of a restaurant, and I throw a camera up in his face, and chances are still not going to talk to me about this scandal, but if I'm yelling at him, Bob, why'd you do that? Well, you know you took that money. Bob, what are you doing? You stole, and he's waving me off and getting in his car, and we got the video of him driving away coming out of the Wendy's.
Not quickly, though.
No, but people will watch it. People will watch it. People will watch it, and saying nothing, getting no information at all out of it. They'll get it. They'll watch it, and you know what? They'll think you're guilty because you ran away. Well, that's not always true.
I just may not want to talk to you.
Well, your lawyers might have advised you not to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I figure if I was under some kind of active investigation, I would probably be speaking only to my lawyers, yeah. That's usually a pretty good strategy.
That's usually the best response. I can't talk to you now. It's an open investigation.
Yep.
Okay. By the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And, okay, let's see here.
Looking up for Marion Maid.
Well, there it is.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Brandon, I see.
Right. I see that. Well, I don't know. What category do you think that Marion Maid photo falls under?
Well,
maybe I should call a cop and see what I can get done today.
Are you being harassed?
Right now? I might feel accosted at this point.
All right. And the 5-foot Grinch doesn't do anything for you.
No. The 5-foot Grinch is fine. All fine. Right. Entertainment. I don't know. What do you think, Matt? Is that explicit?
I mean, I certainly wouldn't use it for anything.
Bob?
Well, I don't know what explicit is anymore on TV. I was just watching the Die Hard movie that was unfiltered, and they had worse in that movie.
Go ahead, caller.
It's just a pinup.
Right, and I don't see anything pornographic in that picture.
Well, it isn't. It's a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, poking fun at Marion Maid. Now, is that Marion, Indiana, North Carolina, South Carolina? There wasn't any distinction of which Marion. And my thought was, it should have been Marion, capital O, lower H, exclamation point. Marion, O, Ohio. You know?
Well, I guess the thing is here is, now, if there were other shots of that woman that were of things that, you know, are of pornographic nature, it might be a different story. I haven't seen the Shrek picture. I don't know what it was. I don't know.
And I don't know if we need to see the Shrek picture.
I don't want to see the Shrek picture.
Yeah, I'll pass on the Shrek picture.
Well, if you'd like, feel free to post that on your website.
Yeah, I'll put that right up there. Thank you.
Do it better tomorrow.
All right. 740-383-9944.
I don't know. I think Marion Maid still makes more sense than Love Your City.
Well,
look, I mean, if I'm in Marion and I see a Marion Maid thing, I'm probably going to assume it's talking about Marion, Ohio, where I am currently at. By the way, Love Your City, I was driving through Marion at one point, and somebody saw a Love Your City sign, and they were like, yeah, I like Green Camp.
Well, there you go. By the way, I wanted to get this in, because I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but President Trump got into a dust-up with Caitlin Collins, the CNN reporter, the White House correspondent, and it was a very unique dust-up because Caitlin was not even asking him a question when this all went down, which makes it very unique. So I actually have the audio here, so let's listen to the audio. I believe this is this might have been Wednesday during a press conference in the Oval Office talking about the $1.8 million fund that has possibly gone away. But here is President Trump. Again, Collins from CNN is just there on behalf of CNN as part of the White House gaggle. And she's in the room, but she has not asked a question. Here's what happened.
We are going to be showing over the coming weeks and months, you're not even going to believe. Some of you will believe it, like CNN will believe it because they knew what was going on. They're crooked as hell. CNN's a very corrupt organization, but with a corrupt reporter standing right there, never smiles. She never smiles. She's a young, beautiful woman, never smiles. I never see a smile off her face. I see her standing there with hatred in her eyes, like she has hatred because we have borders, because we have a strong military, because we cut our taxes, because we do things that everybody wanted, and then we win our election in a massive landslide. You should be ashamed of yourself. You used to be a conservative. She was a conservative from Alabama, can you believe it? But CNN, in particular, CNN does such false reporting. But now they have new ownership, so maybe it'll straighten it out. I doubt it. But it's hard to straighten garbage out.
Well, there you go. Oh, back in the old days when the White House press conferences didn't deteriorate into that. And by the way, the CNN reporter Caitlin Collins did not even ask a question. That was not off of a question that she had asked. So, Bob, your reaction?
Oh, it is so sorry that we have dived to these depths. You know, I mean, give me Walter Cronkite in the good old days.
Well, I don't even know what that was. Did he just happen to glance at her in the room and
think
CNN?
I think
CNN
glance,
and
it's probably a leer. That's a beautiful young woman over there giving me a hatred look. Oh, I think she's mighty nice, but she's beautiful. She's got hate in her heart for me right now. Hate in her heart.
Can you believe she was a conservative? Can you believe that?
Oh,
a conservative from Alabama.
Alabama. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You hear her say, I'm still from Alabama. What do you think, Matt?
Obviously Fox News is the only reliable news source on the face of God's green earth. You know that?
Well, but apparently he doesn't watch it. I think he watches more CNN because he's paying attention to all that stuff that's going on CNN.
I think I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he was watching just to you know, hear what bad things they're saying about him, and then so that they can sit and ruminate on his soul for the next like 2 weeks.
That guy has the thinnest skin of anybody I've ever known. I can't imagine this. What was the point of that? I mean, why? He was answering a question from another reporter about the money, the tax money. What was the thing? CNN's garbage.
I guess he just wanted to throw shots at CNN, I suppose.
Let's see here. From one of our listeners this morning, I'm just surprised we have audio of him that doesn't include the sound of him, doing something in his pants. So, There you go. I took the word out, even though it was not a profanity, but I thought we can skip past that. I just thought even trying to read that doesn't do the audio justice of what went on there. Well, there you go. And Caitlin Collins, by the way, is a very good reporter, and she did just what a reporter, she didn't engage, which a lot of people would have. And I think that's what he wants sometimes.
Well, yeah, sometimes you want to just start poking the little bear to get a reaction.
Maybe.
Because that'll take the attention off something else that you actually don't want to talk about.
Yeah, I was just about to say, maybe it was all just a screen. He was trying to get her to argue with him so that could be news. And then, oh, look at that. This whole thing's gone. This is the news now.
Does he want the reporter smiling at him?
I guess.
What is that?
Maybe he does. Maybe that's his fantasy.
There you go. We'll come back.
At me.
It's National Donut Day. We'll be back on this Friday right after this.
You've had your share of criticism. How do you deal with that?
Well, in the first place, you look at it and you see whether it's valid or not. And then you consider the source.
And then just
I just made